Today we have with us, as we did yesterday, we've had a prophetic conference, and Brian and Sue Nutman, who are employed by Andrew Womack Ministries, have brought their own ministry to us, to our church, and it's all about the prophetic, about prophecy, prophetic, the gifts operating, living in the supernatural, how this works, and they've been instructing. Yesterday was a great day, and thank you so much. Instructing, amen. Teaching on how to walk this out, how to do this, how to live this way. I mean, let this be a normal lifestyle, okay? And they've done a great job, and they've got more to come today. Today's going to be a little different, and I'm giving them free rein to be led and do what God's called them to do here. So let's pray, and you get ready for an impartation, all right? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you, and we commit today to you for your glory. We allow you to work through us, Lord, to teach us, to intervene in our lives, to bring forth the words, particularly for this time, that have to do with healing and healing in the whole person. Lord, we love you. You have permission to move. Thank you for speaking through Brian and Sue. Mightily ministering through them, powerfully, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brian and Sue, come on up. I also want to say that before I give them the microphone, they have a product table from their ministry that is outside the door here. And if you'd like to, I think it's just donations, right? If you see something you'd like, let's get rid of everything so they don't have to take it back. Okay? Amen. So if you want, they do take credit cards and they do take checks, and Jackie Snook is manning the table. So if you want it, I believe they've got it for you out there. Amen.
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 All yours.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. So this is Healing School. And it's an honor to come and share with you today. This is more of well, yesterday was a teaching, but this is slightly more of a teaching, I understand, Healing School. So I have my glasses, so I actually look like a teacher for you all. But what we really want to sort of touch on today is our heart is, when it comes to healing, is to be healed, you know, body, soul, and spirit. And that's a real passion of Brian and I. And it's sort of something, because we've walked it out, for those of you that were here yesterday, as we said, we teach from what we've experienced and what we've walked through, because then it's real. And then we can impart to you guys tools for you to go on and teach, and areas that maybe you need to, you know, sort of adjust or walk through as well. But what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through a lesson that we've developed on dealing with unforgiveness. You know, when people are invited in, sometimes we can teach what we want to teach because we haven't got to come back next week. So when we pull out a subject like this, you can almost feel the room go, ooh. But, you know, what we're going to do today is actually give you the tools for you to also be able to minister to this, because what God showed me through this teaching is the fact that actually this is one of the biggest weapons that the devil uses as a barrier for healing. Because if he can get you to hold on to unforgiveness, if he can get you to hold on to bitterness, if he can get you to hold on to offenses, then he has a doorway in. And I'm not saying that all healings are related to this issue, but some are. And it's one of the things that God really walked us through. We were on prayer lines, and quite often somebody would come up with a various issue. I had a lady come up once, and she was complaining of migraines and IBS. And she came up and she knew exactly what was wrong with her. So she told me, I'm sure if you've been on a prayer line, you've had people come up to you with, you know, their shopping list of things that are wrong. And I said, okay. So I laid my hands on her and I started to pray for her migraines, and I started to pray for her stomach. And as I was praying in the, and I was praying in the spirit, the Lord said to me, that's not the issue. It's her heart. And I said, physical? Nope, emotional. And I was like, gee, thanks, Holy Spirit, you know, because this person has come up to me and she's explained what the situation is. And I'm just about to counteract that with not sometimes an easy subject. So I just said to her, you know, I'm just sensing the Lord could be telling me that this is more of a heart issue. Is that, you know, I said, no, I'm actually hearing the word brokenhearted. And as I said that, she broke down and started to share the fact that she'd been through in a relationship and she'd been left in this relationship and felt rejected. And as I ministered to her along that lines and showed her what the Father's heart was for her to receive healing, to heal her heart, and we prayed for her heart to be healed. After that, I said, you know, how are you feeling? And she said, well, you know, the vice that was around my head seems to have lifted, and my stomach, which constantly was churning, I just feel more peaceful. So that was a real example to me, A, to always be open when we're on the prayer lines. But not only that, you know, afterwards she shared this had been going on in her life physically for 10 years. So for 10 years, she'd been battling this, backwards and forwards to the doctors, you know, trying to deal with all the physical stuff, where the root issue was a heart issue. So that was one of the main things that really sort of sparked this journey with us. And also, it was a very personal journey, wasn't it? Because, you know, we were on a journey with the Lord, and as we were going through our training period of 3 years, he was dealing with a lot of stuff that we had to deal with, because we'd come out of a very worldly existence about 10 years previous to that time. And, you know, when you're in the world, you make worldly mistakes and you make worldly judgments. And we both had to deal with some of the decisions that we had made during that time, and realize the fact that between us there was a lot of hurt and there was a lot of unforgiveness. So God really walked us through that, and by walking us through those areas was able to build our marriage strong, so the fact that we could fulfill his purpose and plan for that. So it's a process. You know, that's what I'm saying to you this morning. You know, forgiveness and walking through that is a process, especially when we've allowed ourselves to live a certain lifestyle, maybe, and we've got those regrets and, you know, disappointments in ourselves. How do we deal with that? Because our Father wants us to be free. He wants us to be completely free, so the fact that we can fulfill his plan for us. Because he set that plan before the foundation of the world. You know, we all had that perfect purpose that he had for us. And, you know, we make the wrong decisions. You know, we go, you know, he sets the GPS, if you like. But every now and again, it's like, oops, U-turn, wrong route. But, you know, and he recalculates. And that's how grace works. Grace works by God recalculating our GPS, when we decide that actually we're going to turn left instead of go straight on. Amen?
Amen.
So,
did you want to?
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
For the ones that weren't with us yesterday, the reason why Sue's going through this is she said, you know, for us, we walked through some pretty interesting areas, but our backgrounds were very different. I was in business. I had my own company up until 2011 and employed about 25 to 30 people, depending on the time of year, supplied 53 airlines with over 1,000 food products. And so I had a busy life. You know, it was a 24/7 company. I traveled hugely to many, many different destinations all over the world. And my life, my whole identity became the business. You know, everything that I was chasing was because of that. But as we know, sometimes that takes us down roads we didn't want to go. I wasn't walking with God. I was a prodigal son, hook, line, and sinker, as they say. And that was just how I lived life. So, you know, when we had a radical encounter in the basis of coming back to the Lord and Sue giving her life to God, there had to be some restoration. But throughout those times, it was, you know, God's grace covers all. Doesn't matter how deep and dark you've been and how deep the wounds are, there is the basis that His grace covers all. But it's understanding that and how you walk through it. And as I said, for us, it's an area, have we sort of come on leaps and bounds? Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, God has restored our marriage, restored my relationship with my kids, everything that was being taken away from me, because doesn't it say in John 10:10, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he came to give us life and life abundantly. You know, and to me, the area that we're talking on today is about cutting the sandbags off. I mean, if you're looking at it on a prophetic level, you look at hot air balloons. You look at the hot air balloons and they are tied down by sandbags. But as soon as you start cutting the ropes or you start releasing the ropes, the balloon goes higher.
Yes, yes.
And that's abundance. You know, you start to see it from a higher perspective. You start to be overcomers of your situation, whether it is a physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, whatever needs to go on. The more that you can release the sandbags and the more that you can release the ropes, the higher you're going to go and the higher you're going to be looking down on your situation. Amen. I mean, Ephesians 1:20, I think it says, is the basis that don't we sit with Him in heavenly places? The only thing that the devil should be looking at is the bottom of your souls. Amen. No matter what you're going through, it's like, look at this, devil. You know, I'm sat in heavenly places looking down on you because the sandbags have been cut off. And I'm saying whatever you guys are walking through at the moment, physical, emotional, mental, whatever it is, the sandbags are going to get cut off. And you're going to be looking it down on your situation and say, no longer am I going to live like this. No longer am I going to stay in this place, because I'm going to soar above it, no matter what my circumstances, no matter about the symptoms, no matter. I mean, guys, I've been walking through a healing journey for the last 2.5 years. You know, I got slammed with high blood pressure and heart issues back in 2016. But at the end of the day, has it been a journey? Most definitely. But am I healed? Most definitely. But my basis is, and I don't know if this is for somebody out there, you need to get a strategic scripture for your condition.
Amen.
You need to ask God and say, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. I know the doctors are saying this, but give me a scripture. When I got put in hospital twice in 10 days back in 2016, the first time was Mother's Day. I remember it well, May 8th, 2016. I just woke up and I felt like I was going to die. You know, and that was it. And you asked Sue, I was in a mess. But when I was wired up in hospital to all the machines and everything else like that, I fell apart like nobody's business. I knew the scriptures. I knew everything. you know, I've been taught for Bible college and everything else, I'm healed, and but man, when you walk through it, it seems to be a different situation. And I knew my father as a provider, okay? I mean, I had walked through provision for 3.5 years, and I had seen him provide for me in many, many different ways, and we may cover that at a later stage. But what I'm saying is, guys, I saw him as a provider. I didn't see him as a healer. I'm being truthful here. Sometimes you're seeing symptoms and you think, am I actually healed? Because why am I still dealing with this? You know, and I laid in the hospital bed and I fell apart because I knew the scriptures, but I didn't know him as my healer. And I said, Lord, I need a scripture. I need something to tell me what's going on. Did I get an automatic answer? No. About 3 days later, I just literally woke up out of bed, still feeling rough, Psalm 73:26. And I went, okay, what's that? So I went to the Bible, I opened it up, and I read the first line. I nearly cried my eyes out because it says, though my heart and my flesh may fail, that was the first line. It was like, Lord, don't you think I know that? I mean, I'm having this conversation, guys. It's like, I am in a place where I just don't understand what is happening. But the second line, and it says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Done deal. But I had to ask him for that strategic question. I don't understand, Lord. I don't know what's going on, but I need to have an answer, no matter what my symptoms are. And I've stood on that scripture time and time and time again. It's like, no, Lord, you are the healer of my heart, and you are the portion for me forever, no matter what it looks like. And I just dwell on that. I meditate on that. It's in my heart now. It's just like, no matter what comes against me, it's like, no. And that doesn't have to be your heart. It could be your back. It could be your legs. It could be your feet. It could be your ears. Lord, but God is the strength of my heart, the strength of my ears, the strength of my feet, and you are my portion forever. You need to start declaring that over your bodies. But declare it out loud. It's not in your head. You need to be declaring it as a audible situation. You need to hear it for yourselves. It's a journey, guys. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this is why we love to teach on healing again, because we've walked it. Sue's had to walk it with me. You know, there's been many a times I've been in and out of doctors and everything else, and it's like there's the manifestation of knowing what I believe. And I'm going to say it like this, guys. If Jesus had the flesh torn off his back, why should I be paying for my own healing, because he's already paid for it? I want to see the miracles that Jesus paid for. I'm just saying. But you know, guys, again, I'm just saying, this is, sometimes it is a journey. Sometimes we want to see the miraculous, and I do, believe you me. And that is my passion. But also there is a basis of sometimes we just got to walk it through. But have I seen areas of not only my physical condition change, but my heart condition changed emotionally, because God has dealt with me in areas. I mean, Sue had bought me a brand new Bible, and I just stuck it on the side for about 6 months. And I said, when I started to walk through this, it's like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he said, pick up the Bible. And he said, and start in the Gospels. And I'm going to show you what it is in my scriptures as I am a healer. I'm still in Romans. And that's 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And, you know, again, you just have to be in that place of actually engaging with God and actually asking him to show you how he perceives it, how he sees it. Not how you're witnessing the situation that you're walking through. But anyway, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let my wife carry on. And
okay, so Acts 3, as we know, that's when the guy was at the temple gate, beautiful. And is this whistling a bit? Is it good? And he received his healing, so he walked, he was physically healed, he leapt, he was emotionally healed, and he praised God, he was spiritually healed. And through that scripture, God was showing me the areas of, you know, it's the he leapt, it's that emotional healing, because sometimes we are so conscious of, oh, you know, we need this physical healing, we need this physical healing, but maybe we don't understand that there could be an emotional issue. And I know from my past, I used to hang on to unforgiveness and bitterness. I would be forever holding grudges against people. I know you find that hard to believe. But, yeah, and I was forever dealing with physical stuff. When we lived in England, I was backwards and forwards to the doctors all the time with just stuff. And God showed me that, you know, you have an issue where you are holding on to this stuff in your heart, Sue, and you're not handing it over to me. So I was like, okay, well then show me. And I started to read some scriptures on forgiveness and bitterness. Now, as I read them, I struggled. Have any of you read some scriptures and then you're struggling to understand it? It might be just me. I'm like, this doesn't work out right, because I've always had a good image of Father God. I've never had to have that issue where I've had to walk through what is he like for me. I've always had a fantastic earthly father, so I didn't have any issues there. But when I read these two scriptures, I had some questions for the Lord. So in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, he tells us, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Ouch. Don't you know the situation I'm going through, Lord? Those questions of why they don't deserve forgiveness because of what they've done to me. And Matthew 18, 21, right the way through to 35, we know this is the story of the servant who the master forgave him. But the master said to him, "Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow student servant just as I had mercy on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers and he was tormented until he paid back everything he owed. And it ends in verse 35. This is how your heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Ouch. I don't like those scriptures, Lord. That doesn't make sense when you say you love us and everything. So how, explain those scriptures to me. Have any of you asked those questions? I don't understand that. You know, I know you're a God of love. I understand your love is unconditional. But why would you put me in a jail and torment me if I can't forgive that person that's done that horrendous thing to me? Don't you understand how I'm feeling? So what the Lord showed me on this, he said, you know, Sue, at the end of the day, it's not me that's putting you in that jail. It's not me that's causing you to be tormented. It's you. You're the one that's opened up your heart to that root of bitterness. You're the one that can't let this thing go. I always say, you know, that Disney film, Frozen, let it go. Let it go, let it go. That's very true. But it's hard, isn't it? When we've walked through these things where we have been hurt by people, and sometimes our hearts have feels almost as if they've been ripped out. I can remember saying to the Lord, my heart feels as if it's been ripped out and somebody has just stepped on it. How are you going to repair that? And he said, by you forgiving. I was like, whew. Well, you better walk me through this one, because as far as I'm concerned, it's not fair what they've done for me. You know, should they, why can't they repent first before I forgive them? And he very sweetly said, it doesn't have to work like that, Sue. So through that area, he showed me that actually forgiveness is actually a command of God, because he says, freely give, freely you receive. For what he did on the cross, he gave us that permission. And if we hang on to this bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart, what we're doing is we're giving the enemy the keys to our body.
Yes.
You know, at the end of the day, he's sitting there with the keys round his fingers going, okay, now I can have some fun. But it's hard, isn't it, when we've walked through these situations to be able to let these offences go, especially when offences in court are areas that affect our heart through relationships, offences through business, through money, relationships we've been through which haven't worked out, or where we've been hurt. It's hard to be able to let these things go. But the Lord showed me, like in Hebrews 12:15, that root of bitterness can be so damaging to us. It can stop us moving forward to the area where he needs to take us. You know, God planned us all to have that perfect divine calling and purpose that he has for us. But along the way, there are going to be some tough times. As Paul tells us, we will get trials, we will get tests, and it's how we walk through those. So he showed me that forgiveness, it's actually a choice, not a feeling.
Amen.
So, you know, he said, my son didn't choose to go to the cross. He didn't decide that the cross was something that he could or couldn't do. It was his purpose. It was his calling. It was to take everything from us. It was so the fact that we could walk in divine health. We could walk in divine prosperity. We could walk in complete wholeness with him. So by taking that on the cross, maybe that issue that we feel is so hard for us to deal with, we can hand over and let go. I shared this actually in a First Methodist church in Texas, and we were praying about what to share, and the Lord said, oh, I'd like you to share your forgiveness message. And I was like, really? We're going down to a First Methodist church, not quite sure how that's going to go over. And anyway, I shared during the sermon, and we had the option. It was funny, actually. This is how God works. The pastor said to us, well, there's two services. There's the 9 o'clock, and then there's the 10:30. And so he said, you can choose which one you want to take. So Brian said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I'll do the 9 o'clock, because I think it will be fewer people. So Brian went, fine. So when we got there, it turned out, as you can imagine, the 9 o'clock was the main service. So there they all are, robed up in this beautiful old church. And I was like, why? Why have you asked me to do this, Lord? You know, and I shared on this because I know it's not an easy subject. And I know a lot of you here are mature Christians, so you can handle this. But I know it's not an easy subject. So I shared the message, and it was very quiet. And the pastor said, thank you. And I sat down. But as I sat down in this wooden pew, thinking, oh, just swallow me up, floor, this lady who was sitting behind me slid me this little slip of paper. And she turned around and she said, thank you. I can now forgive the man who murdered my son 18 years ago. I was a wreck. And God said to me, if I call you somewhere for one heart, then I expect you to be obedient. So I'm just going to give you some tools. And if it's okay with you, I'm not saying that, you know, we all need to walk through this, but I'm just asking you to give me some grace this morning and pray the way that we're going to pray. I'm going to do a couple of group prayers, and this is just for you guys to see how to walk maybe somebody else through a similar situation when they come to you and say, I don't feel I can forgive a situation that's happening in my life. Is that okay? Okay, so I'm going to repeat this prayer, and there's a space in it where you will, we'll just have a few moments of quiet where you can put anybody that you feel has given maybe some offense or some forgiveness. But I'm also asking at this point, maybe you need to forgive yourself for a situation. Sometimes we can put ourselves in that jail, in that prison, because we're not willing to forgive ourselves for a situation. You know, sometimes when forgiveness is, there's usually a victim and there's usually a guilty party. But at the end of the day, God wants both of those people free. Amen. And another thing I want to just throw out there is sometimes we have to forgive Father God because we feel that maybe he should have stepped in that gap. And that's okay too, you know. He's big enough to take that. He's big enough to go, I know that you need to forgive me for that situation, but look how I can restore it. Amen. Okay. So here we go. So I'm going to say sort of like a sentence, and then if you just say it with me. So Holy Spirit, please show me any area of my heart where I have unforgiveness towards another. Lord, I repent and I ask you to forgive me for bitterness, resentment, offenses I have been holding against. I forgive each person I have named, and I ask you to bless them. Please forgive me for any agreements I have made with the lies of the enemy. I break those agreements now. Thank you for forgiving me and cleansing me with your blood. I receive and ask you to replace my wounded emotions with your healthy emotions. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So sometimes we also need to be healed and from the offenses that they caused us. So again, we're just going to do some interaction here. So Lord, what they did or what they failed to do has left me feeling. And just tell him how it made you feel. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I give these wounded feelings and hurts to you. I renounce all vengeance and leave that in your hands. I trust and believe that you take care of everything. You were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. The punishment I deserved was put on you. I thank you, Lord, that you give me your peace. And by your stripes I am healed. So I renounce the lie, Lord, that I have to live under any of those lies, wounds, or hurts from the past. Jesus, what are you going to give me in return? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all those gifts that are just being brought down from heaven now. We receive those new gifts from you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You see, it can be as easy as that. It's just by releasing them and handing them over to him. It doesn't have to take hours and hours. The Holy Spirit works very quickly. Now remember, you don't have to run and tell that person that you've forgiven them. You don't have to run and give them a big hug and say, I now love you. You don't have to actually restore the relationship. You don't have to do anything unless the Lord leads you to do so. But we do all have to love each other. So this is a time of just sort of breakthrough in this area. And I just wanted to be able to share with you that it doesn't have to be a hard, you know, hard work thing. We can just get ourselves in that place where our hearts are open. And we're willing to let go of what's been holding us down. You know, when God showed me that actually you're the one in the jail and you're the one that's got the keys and the locks on your side. And I was like, well, I don't want that. Why would I sit in the jail with the keys? And I'm certainly not going to allow the devil to have those keys. Another thing is, forgiveness isn't automatically forgetting. God doesn't require you to forget, okay? Forgetting may be a result of the forgiving, but it should never be your primary reason to forgive somebody. Forgiveness deals with the pain and in your heart. And it doesn't have to, by forgiving somebody releases your heart. It doesn't make their actions necessarily any different. But I can guarantee it will do in time, because what you've done is you've released them now to Jesus, so that he can go to work in their hearts. Yes. That's the main thing. I can remember we walked through a woman in a situation with this, and she had a huge amount of unforgiveness towards her mother, who they'd been estranged for a number of years. And her biggest fear was, well, do I now have to communicate with her? Do I now have to, you know, I haven't spoken to her for over 15 years. And I said, no, you don't. What you've done is you've just freed yourself, and you can allow God to do what he needs to do. So off she went. Well, I had an email back from her about a month later to say, you are just not going to believe what happened. She said, I felt so free and I was going on with my life. And she said, and I had a communication. I received a letter in the mail from her mum, turning around and asking her, would she forgive her for what happened 15 years ago? And she said, how does that work? And I'm like, I don't know. But all I'm saying is, because you have released her, God was able to work in her heart. So Lord, I just want to thank you for this time, and I just want to thank you, Lord, for your ministry, Holy Spirit, during this time. And we just pray a blessing on the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sue. Let's have the prayer team come on up. Now, that was solid gold. There was a breakthrough today for a number of you. If you need healing, take this breakthrough. Come on up. Let's get it met. Let's get it done right now. If this was for you today and you need healing, this is breakthrough day. This is manifestation day. Who wants your healing right now? Anybody? Come on up. Come on up. Anybody else? Anybody else? We're just going to put our faith with yours and see results. We had a bunch of healings yesterday. We had a bunch of miraculous. This is a normal thing for our church. Anybody else need healing? How about healing in the heart? Healing of the mind. You know, Jesus paid for it all. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, my sense is that there's somebody else that needs healing. Healing is easy. It really is. No matter what it is. It's just receiving and getting the roadblocks out of the way. That's all. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Because I'm going to wrap it up. Come on, Teresa. Good. Don't wait until it's later on. I mean, why would you wait for something really awesome? Blake, you want to come on up? Johnny, you want to come on up? Kitty? Let's just get this taken care of right now. Anybody else? Okay. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for this time. Lord, we love you. Thanks for dealing with our hearts. Thanks for Brian and Sue. We love you, Lord. Thanks for helping us to forgive. For us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You are dismissed. Don't forget the product table outside, and we'll see you back here in 30 minutes for the service. Thanks, everybody.